From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, June 12th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at redzonewireless.com.
Maine could allow the sale of non-prescription drugs in vending machines under a bill sitting on Governor Janet Mills' desk. Supporters hope the bill, passed Monday, will allow the sale of medications, including the emergency contraception pill known as brand name Plan B. The bill calls for the State Pharmacy Board to adopt regulations to allow a pharmacy to seek a license to sell or distribute non-prescription drugs through a vending machine. The amended bill would prevent such vending machines from being located in private schools and public schools and child care facilities. A case of meningococcal disease in a student at Wiscasset Middle High School has been confirmed by the Maine Centers for Disease Control. The disease includes meningitis and septicemia, which are infections of the lining of the brain, the spinal cord, and the bloodstream. The CDC says it's not as contagious as the cold or flu, and the bacteria is only spread person to person through saliva. State health officials say they are working with school officials and local medical facilities to notify exposed individuals, but that the risk to the public is low. They say immunization is the best way to prevent the disease. And a Maine Supreme Court justice will allow a 13-year-old boy who has been found mentally incompetent to stand trial to remain at the Long Creek Youth Development Center in South Portland until an alternative placement can be found. Sarah Branch is an attorney for the boy identified as AI, who has been held at Long Creek since December. Branch had petitioned the Maine Supreme Court for habeas corpus or a determination that the boy's detention is illegal. The judge denied the request. Branch says AI's situation illustrates a serious deficiency in mental health services in Maine.
Because Maine doesn't have a facility that can house individuals like my client, the sort of the higher needs individuals, based on the ruling and based on where we're at in the law, he will remain at a correctional institution.
Branch says AI has been accepted by a residential treatment program with a waiting list that could mean a delay in his transfer of several more months. In weather tonight, skies clear, cool overnight with lows in the 40s to low 50s. Tomorrow, early sun but clouding up statewide with rain in the south starting in the early afternoon and highs in the 60s to mid-70s with the highest temperatures in the north. On Friday, showers statewide after some morning sun everywhere but the mountains with highs in the mid-60s to mid-70s. And on Saturday, mostly cloudy north, partly sunny south with some showers statewide, highs in the mid-60s to high 70s north to south. Maine Governor Janet Mills has signed into law a contentious bill that will allow some terminally ill patients to request life-ending medication. The governor announced her decision after the Democratic-controlled legislature enacted the proposal by narrow margins, 3 votes in the Senate, 1 vote in the House. Steve Missler has more.
Mills told reporters during a press conference in her office that she agonized over a decision to join Maine with 7 other states that allow terminally ill patients to end their lives with medication. And, like many of the lawmakers who grappled with the morality of a measure dubbed death with dignity by supporters and assisted suicide by opponents, the governor says she made her decision based on a legal review of an issue that encompasses the rights of self-determination and government-sanctioned suicide.
Perhaps for these reasons and perhaps for others I cannot articulate at this time, I've decided to sign LD 1313.
Mills acknowledged that her decision may have been influenced by personal experience, but Mills said she was more influenced by conversations she had with supporters and opponents of the law.
My decision was a result of weighing the pros and cons and experiences of many other people in the state of Maine and their desires and cautions and concerns.
Mills was solemn during her press conference, a mood that reflects what she said was the toughest decision she has made in her 6 months as governor. Backed by a Democratic-controlled legislature, she has achieved many of the policy goals she campaigned on last year. But a law that allows patients with less than 6 months to live the right to request life-ending medication was not on her list of priorities.
It is my hope that this law, while respecting the right of personal liberty, will be used sparingly.
The bill was sponsored by Representative Patricia Hymanson, a Democrat and retired physician from Wells. Hymanson cobbled together a bipartisan coalition of 7 lawmakers to back her bill, previous versions of which have failed multiple times in the legislature. Representative Michelle Meyer, a Democrat from Wells, is a registered nurse and co-sponsor. She says she understands why the governor agonized over her decision.
I have a great deal of respect for the process that she's gone through. This is a sensitive issue. It's a difficult issue for everyone involved.
Meyer was also glad that Mills also signed an executive order that will order state agencies to track use of the law and to make sure it isn't abused. Such tracking is consistent with other steps other states have taken after enacting so-called death with dignity laws. The new law is modeled after a 1997 Oregon law, the first of its kind. 7 other states, including Vermont and Washington, have adopted similar statutes. Half of those states enacted the laws by ballot initiative, an option that loomed large as Maine lawmakers considered Hymanson's bill. The Maine Death with Dignity group had already organized a ballot initiative that could put the issue directly to voters if the bill had failed. But with Mills' signature, that campaign is no longer needed. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Also today, the city of Portland is moving hundreds of asylum seekers into an emergency shelter at the Portland Expo Center. As Robbie Feinberg reports, Portland's working with local groups, other municipalities, and state and federal officials to accommodate those asylum seekers after a change in federal policy, and is expecting hundreds more in the coming days.
At a press conference on Wednesday afternoon, City Manager John Jennings told reporters that the city has acted quickly over the past few days in order to accommodate nearly 100 asylum seekers that he says have arrived since Sunday. Jennings says with likely hundreds more expected over the next few days, and city services already overloaded, the Portland Expo Center has been converted into an emergency shelter with a plan to set up 350 cots as quickly as possible.
We will certainly begin to ramp up the cots at the expo as needed. It is estimated that we can, on average, put about 600 cots for individuals in the expo. And that will depend upon the changing dynamics on the ground.
The city also points to a change in federal border policy in which asylum seekers are being sent to cities such as Portland before the asylum process has even begun. That means they aren't eligible for general assistance. Jennings says he received an email from the city manager of San Antonio alerting him that 150 asylum seekers would be arriving soon. Jennings says many of the families seeking asylum are fleeing violence or political persecution in Angola and the Democratic Republic of Congo and have been put on buses in Texas after reaching the southern U.S. border. Portland Mayor Ethan Strimling says he was encouraged to see that the city is supporting those in need.
This is what government is here for, to step in, to help, to provide for the health and safety of all of our residents.
City officials say the cost of opening the emergency shelter, which is mostly for staffing, is still unclear. Kristen Dow, Portland's Health and Human Services Interim Director, says the city has already reached out to several organizations for supplies and services, including linens donated by a local hospital. She says the Maine CDC is also providing health supplies and public health nurses during the intake process.
And it is our intention to have this shelter up emergency shelter up and running this afternoon for shelter and food.
City officials have also had communications with other local municipalities. South Portland Mayor Claude Morgan says his community hopes to provide money or other resources to help out. But he says he was disappointed to learn the city is currently unable to open a long-term shelter at a facility like a community center. He says South Portland city officials are planning a workshop Thursday evening to discuss the issue.
And we have to up our game if we are going to walk the walk the way we talk our talk. And it is, in my opinion, it is who we are in South Portland. We are that community that wants to do every bit of what it can do.
Jennings says that Portland city officials will also meet with Governor Janet Mills and other state and federal officials on Friday afternoon to explore how they can work together on a larger response to the situation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for gardening tips from a panel of experts. I'm Nora Flaherty.